Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Floss Weekly with John O'Bacon, episode 99 for December 10th, 2009, Ubuntu 1. Floss Weekly is brought to you by the new voice-activated Sync, featuring hands-free calling, music search, and turn-by-turn navigation, available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show that covers free, Libre, and open source software. This week, I'm excited. Great guest. But let me first introduce our host. Randall has the week off. John O'Bacon is here.
Hello.
Hey, John. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
In the new John O studio.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's
yeah.
Nice.
I'm pretty stoked with it. It's feeling good.
It's a feeling nice
good
setup. So we are going to talk to your buddy, Stuart Langridge, today. What is Stuart's thing?
So Stuart Langridge actually works for Canonical, the company that I work for. And he works on a team called Ubuntu One. And Ubuntu One builds a set of online services that build right into the Ubuntu desktop. And we're going to talk to him about what Ubuntu One does and all the different services that it offers, some of the criticism that's been applied to it, and what we can expect to see in the future.
Good. That's exciting. Before we do that, do you know where Randall is? He's on a cruise. That's right. He's on a Scientific American cruise.
He's off cavorting somewhere. I don't know.
Man.
It's difficult keeping up with his Playboy lifestyle.
Man. He will be back next week because it's our 100th episode. So we're going to get together with Chris DeBona, the guy who started this show. He's at Google. So that'll be a lot of fun. Stuart, coming up in just a bit. I'm sure there'll be some japery back and forth between Stuart and his buddy, John O. But before we talk about that, can I talk about Ford Sync? You know, I just was reading, and we talked about this last week, that Ford Sync... Ford wants to open source Sync. I'm going to ask Chris about that next week. Very interesting article in Fast Company. And Ford saying, we see this not merely as, you know, the Bluetooth hands-free, the media manipulation, but we see this as a platform, a car computer that can do more than that. I mean, already it's pretty amazing. I get in the car, I can press a button on my steering wheel without looking down. Without taking my eyes off the road, I could say, tell me what the weather is. Tell me what my favorite team is doing. Even my fantasy league results. I can get news headlines read to me. I can get any podcast, any song. I can plug in any device because it has a USB port as well as an audio jack. So if you've got a Droid, for instance, works great with that. Works with the iPhone, with the Zune, with any iPod. You plug it in, it recognizes the device, immediately indexes the tunes on there, and you can call for any song by name. It is an amazing technology, and I'm just thrilled. Ford has really got the open source bug, the forward-looking bug. They really understand that if you enroll the community in this, amazing things can happen. So this will be next year. They're going to open this up and put out an SDK and allow people to develop applications for this and more. It's really an interesting platform. You can get it in your car right now. Go to any Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury dealer and say, hey, my new car, can I have Sync? And they'll say, yes, indeed. Find out more about Ford Sync, the amazing hands-free and media control system. It's all done with your voice. The best voice recognition I've ever used. SyncMyRidePodcast.com. That's the website. You can go to see a lot of videos at SyncMyRide.com. Thank them for their support of open source, not just with their development, but with Floss Weekly. We really appreciate it. Now, Jono, it's time to call Jolly Old. Say hello. Is that where Stuart is? Is he in England?
He is in Jolly Old England, in the middle of England.
Jolly
in the glorious
old.
English heartlands.
That Emerald Isle. let's say hello to Stuart Langridge. We have, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Stuart Langridge on the horn right now. Do you know this guy, Jono?
I do. He's actually my best friend.
Is that true?
for all the wrong reasons.
That's
so,
and you guys do that Shot of Jack thing.
We do. Yeah, we did Look Radio for a little while. Now we're doing Shot of Jack. But he's not on the show to talk about Shot of Jack, much as he should be.
Were you friends before Stuart started doing Ubuntu stuff? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've known him for about, what, 10 years now?
Oh.
Something like that. So,
so you're like the Beatles. You guys got together at a church fete and...
pretty much, and I'm trying to plan his assassination, so it works out well.
Well, I guess we should start by asking you, Stuart, what Ubuntu One is, or how it differs from Ubuntu None.
It's in between Ubuntu None and Ubuntu Two. What Ubuntu One is bringing your Ubuntu desktop in line with the cloud, so you've got all of your data everywhere on all of your machines all at once.
Absolutely.
Like MobileMe?
Yeah, some people have compared it to MobileMe. We plan to do quite a lot more than that. But yes, you'll have all your files that you want synchronized in between all of your machines, all of your notes, all of your contacts, all your data, everything at your fingertips.
This is great. What are you using in the back end? Is it WebDAV? How are you doing this?
The back end is we've got a client on the machine, and then that talks. There's a protocol that we invented, binary protocol, done with Google's protocol buffers, and it talks that to do file synchronization. All the rest of your data, your contacts and your notes and that kind of thing, that's done with CouchDB.
Oh, I love Couch. We've talked to Couch on the show. That's great.
So a lot of people have been rambling on recently about CouchDB. It's like the hot new thing. Do you want to just explain to our listeners what exactly it is and why they should care?
CouchDB is a database, but it's document-oriented. It's not like a SQL database. It's deliberately designed so it doesn't have a schema. So when you build a set of data, you don't have to come up with a table like in a SQL database like MySQL. Instead of that, you just put in records, documents describing your data and whatever you want. The thing about it is that it's deliberately designed to be massively scalable. It's part of there's been a recent trend for databases that go beyond the old relational SQL based kind of thing that MySQL and Oracle and MS SQL Server and so on use. And CouchDB's probably the preeminent one among this new crop of databases. One of the reasons that we like it for Ubuntu One is that it has a concept of replication built into it. So if you've got one CouchDB with data in it, you can just point another one at it and essentially clone that data really, really trivially. Another reason we like it is that instead of having to use some magic secret protocol to talk to it, it's all just done over HTTP. So basically every language already supports how to talk to it. You don't need to build complicated client libraries that need to be compiled or anything like that. It all just works.
This is very interesting.
So is the plan with CouchDB, therefore, because you've picked CouchDB as the back end, is the plan therefore to really scale Ubuntu One up? I mean, what's the plan for the future?
Well, we divide the services Ubuntu One provides into two separate camps at the moment. The first one is file synchronization, as I mentioned. And the second one is things built on what CouchDB and the Desktop Couch project provide to us. Desktop Couch is something that we built to give every user their own personal CouchDB. And as more applications start to store their data in CouchDB, you get the benefits of that scalability and that replication work. So we already have Evolution, for example, can store all your contacts, your address book in Couch. So at that point, if you've got two machines on your network and they're both using Evolution, then they can synchronize their address books between them without you having to do any extra work. And if you bring Ubuntu One into the mix as well, you'll then have that information right up on the net. So you'll be able to go and get it from web browsers and that kind of thing. And you'll be able to synchronize it to machines that aren't on your network. So the plan is to continue to scale that facility up.
So is the idea that you can basically take a database, you can take the CouchDB database, and you can basically basically share it between any number of different types of machine and machines of the same class as well? On the same network?
Absolutely.
Or outside of it? Right. Does that include mobile phones?
Yes. At the moment, the CouchDB upstream team are very, very keen on the idea that CouchDB should be able to run everywhere, on absolutely everything. In the last few days only, I've seen someone, Thomas van der Stiele, get CouchDB running on his N900 phone and synchronize data in between it and his desktop. It's still quite early days for the idea
that
of having.
That would be great. I just
CouchDB
got a 900.
In every single place.
So, because it's MAMO, does it have to be Linux?
No. CouchDB runs on other platforms as well. It's built in. It's a language called Erlang, which was invented by the Ericsson people.
Right.
So porting it to other platforms, something like Android or so on, might be slightly complicated. But there are apparently plans afoot to make that happen. I can't wait till it appears on Android.
Yeah, to be able to have phone data. Can you see it, or do you have to actually sync it down to use it? In other words, does it show up as a mappable kind of data drive?
The way it works is because CouchDB just works over HTTP, you can just go and look at your data in a web browser.
Wow, that's cool.
It comes with a built-in web administration interface,
right,
basically.
Right.
So you can just go and look at your data and move it around, change it, alter it, delete bits of it if you want to. Very, very easily, which is lovely.
Great for a limited memory device like a phone. To have access to that stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you said right now Ubuntu One currently supports Evolution, which is the mail client in Ubuntu and calendaring. But what else does Ubuntu One do right now in an Ubuntu system?
Right now, we're also doing Tomboy note synchronization. Tomboy on Linux desktop is really, really great program for keeping notes in. I basically run my entire life from Tomboy. Huge collection of Tomboy post-it notes all over my desktop. And we do note synchronization. The Tomboy team built a way of synchronizing notes between your desktop and a server. And we implemented the Tomboy synchronization interface on Ubuntu One. So if you have Tomboy, you can just say, synchronize my notes with Ubuntu One. They'll be saved up at Ubuntu One. You can browse them and change them on the web. You can synchronize all your other Tomboys with that. And then you've got the same notes everywhere.
And one other thing I think you should explain, because we actually use it in Shot of Jack, but that's the file syncing.
Yes.
How does that work?
It is. File syncing is lovely, to be honest. We do use that for communicating around the Ubuntu One team. Jono and I have used it when recording Shot of Jack. You can drop a file into your Ubuntu One folder. You're given a folder called Ubuntu One in your home directory. You drop a file in it. It's automatically, without any extra work, and instantaneously, or as fast as your network connection can do, is synchronized up to Ubuntu One. And it's also synchronized down to your other machines that are online.
It's like Dropbox for us Windows and Mac folk.
Yes. Yes. Essentially works the same way as Dropbox. Rather nice thing you can do is you can say, I'd like to share this folder with someone else. And then as soon as you put something in that folder, it's uploaded to Ubuntu One and then goes down to their machines, which is how Jono and I have used it in the past. It's how we use it inside the Ubuntu One team to share information around.
It's pretty cool, I have to say. I mean, like the way that, you know, you can basically upload, you know, so you can share a folder and then you can just drop something into it. And then the person on the other side, it just says, you know, Ubuntu One is updating files, and it just appears there in your file manager. The first time I saw that working, there was a very small dance happening in my ear.
It's really cool.
I've used
it with Dropbox, but Dropbox doesn't have this great ability to sync, data aware and sync evolution and sync context. So that's really, it's kind of nice to have both. That's really great.
Yeah, I mean, we like the file sync very much.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a great thing. But Ubuntu One is more than just file synchronization. We want to deliver more and more stuff on top of it. Make sure that, I mean, half my data, I mean, it's all files under the covers, but half my data I can think about and reason about a lot more if I know it's more than just this file with data inside it. If I think about it as my address book or as my notes or as my music, then I can do a lot more useful stuff with it.
So with something such as Ubuntu One, if I was to set up a new Ubuntu system, let's say I'm upgrading and I want to set up on a new machine, Is it really easy to get this data back onto your machine then? I mean, is it easy to just bring, if I've synced all my files and my Tomboy notes and my contacts to Ubuntu One, can I just bring it back into onto my machine with a couple of clicks?
Absolutely. You plug in a new machine, go to the Ubuntu One website and log in, click the Install Ubuntu One on My Machine button, and then all your data reappears. Done. That's it.
That's the way it should work.
Yeah.
That's how great. I like it.
So it's $10 a month. It's free for 2 gigabytes, $10 a month for 50 gigabytes, yes?
Yes.
And does it have to be Ubuntu?
At the moment, we ship the Ubuntu One client out of the box in Ubuntu Karmic in 9.10. So you don't even need to go to the website for that. You just run the Ubuntu One client and that's it. There is a chap, Thomas van der Stiele, who I mentioned earlier, is in the process of porting the Ubuntu One client to Fedora, and he seems to be having a lot of success. That's been really useful for us, actually, to iron out a couple of things where we were inadvertently Ubuntu-specific. We didn't intend to be, but we were in a couple of places, and he's been really helpful with that. And there's nothing stopping anyone porting the client to any other platform they want. We'd be really interested if people want to step up and say, yes, we'd love to build this on.
How hard would it be? Is it C? I guess you don't even... You just have to interface to CouchDB.
Most of the client stuff is Python. For everything except file synchronization, if you can get CouchDB up and running, then porting desktop Couch, our local run-your-own CouchDB library, shouldn't be that hard because it's just Python. For the file synchronization, some of it's in C for performance, and we tie into Nautilus, the GNOME file manager, and porting that to a different file manager would take a bit more work. Now, I know someone's done some work to make that work for KDE, which is great. I myself don't know how difficult that would be to do to Windows, but I'm sure for a seasoned Windows program, it wouldn't be that difficult to integrate it into Windows Explorer or into Finder on the Mac.
It would be really cool to have like a Windows client just to...
It would.
Because I know, for example, Jack, well, I mean, there's one such use case. I edit the show on Windows.
Right. It should
so
be cross-platform.
What I have to do is... Yeah, so what I have to do right now is I have to sync with the files onto my Linux box, and then I have to sneak an edit over to the Windows machine. Whereas, it'd be good if it basically just suck it down to Windows, so... And is that something that, I mean, this was going to be my next question, was in terms of the Ubuntu One technology and how it's available right now... A Canonical the only company that can write applications that use it, or can other people go out there and could a seasoned Windows programmer go out there and write a Windows client?
Absolutely. You can just take the code and run it on another platform. I mean, as I say, you'd need to do presumably some work to integrate with the conventions with the way that platform works. But all the code's open source. Just take it and run it. See how it works.
Gotcha. And in terms of applications, I mean, taking the client itself and porting it to run on a different platform strikes me as relatively trivial in the scheme of things. But if I, you know, if I was the author of something such as, I don't know, Inkscape or the GIMP or Firefox or whatever it might be, if I've written a program, can I build Ubuntu One support into it so it'll sync my data from my application to Ubuntu One?
Yes, if you don't need to build any support into it if you are just doing files. In order to have Ubuntu One support for your application, you just save a file and just save it into the Ubuntu One folder. That's done. If you want to save data, preferences data, for example, I know there's been some work in a few applications to start storing their preferences, the way you want the application to work, to store that in CouchDB. And we've built a set of libraries to help people do that from various languages. There's one called desktopcouch.records, which is for Python. There's CouchDB glib, which is for C applications. That's how Evolution works, for example. So it's just another data access library. It's like saying in your application, I'm going to store my data in SQLite, or I'm going to store it in an embedded version of MySQL, or it's just essentially another storage backend. You know, so that's not difficult for someone who's already written a whole application.
So this could be conceivably really simple for people who just want to just have a backup solution. I mean, a good example of this for me is photos. You know, you have all these photos on your disk, and then you know, I want to make sure that they're offline somewhere. They're not on my computer. And right now I'm using Flickr for that. But I'm assuming that you could conceivably modify something such as FSpot and, you know, zip the files up onto Ubuntu One.
Absolutely. I mean, you store the photos themselves using the Ubuntu One file storage, and then your metadata about the photos, how you've tagged them, which film roles they're in, all the information that's stored currently in SBOT's database. If you store that in Couch, then that'll be on all of your machines all at once. One of the other things that we're really, really keen on is that as more applications store their data in Couch, they cooperate on the data formats. So I'd like, for example, Evolution can store your contacts, your address book in desktop CouchDB. And if Thunderbird started doing the same, it would be great if they collaborated on how you define a contact. Because at that point, if I decide to move to Thunderbird 3, Thunderbird 3 came out today, so I think I'm going to move to that from Evolution, I don't have to run some import wizard to get my contacts from Evolution. They're just there already because you're both storing in the same place. And having that kind of cooperation is going to make working with the Linux desktop much more seamless as you switch from place to place. You know, Linux is all about choice, but it's not the choice between different incompatible data silos. It's a way of sharing the data, you know. So everything just works. You don't have to configure things more than once. And you have then the freedom. You really have the choice to switch between applications without the huge mismatch.
Although I have to say, I mean, there are standards like vCard and stuff. I guess vCard could be subsumed within the CouchDB, right?
Oh, entirely. Yeah.
So it doesn't replace standards.
No, not in the slightest. Yeah. No, this is a way of saving information that gives you certain benefits, like replication between all of your machines, for example.
Got it.
So, obviously, I work for Canonical. I don't want to turn this.
You do? Holy cow. I can't be on the show now. I think
So I don't want to turn this into one of those horrible American infomercials. So I need to ask some tough questions as well. And the first thing is
why do you say American? Do you not have infomercials in UK?
Not like the ones over here. Oh yeah.
Is it like we invented the smarmy pitch man?
Oh yeah.
Oh okay. Oh,
yeah. It's well, yeah,
something to be
and
proud
you should be
of,
proud.
Anyway. Yeah,
I mean, you know that and Twinkies. I mean, it's a great contribution to culture.
To world culture.
Hi, this is John O'Bacon for Ubuntu One.
So, this is Ubuntu One. What about this? And what about Fedora One? I mean, are we going to see any collaboration between Ubuntu and Fedora on making this technology available to them? That kind of thing, so they could just switch it for Red Hat. Is that part of the plan?
Yeah.
I really hope so. As I said, we've already seen the Ubuntu One client running on Fedora, and Desktop Couch is entirely distribution neutral. It can run anywhere. It's a way of giving everyone a CouchDB because CouchDB is useful. If you've got two desktop couches on your network, they can talk to one another without having to go anywhere near a server. So the benefits you get from that, you still get all the benefits of replication and so on without bringing Ubuntu One into the mix at all. File synchronization, as I say, there's been a port of the file synchronization client, the Ubuntu One client, to Fedora already, and we'd love to see more people running that. That'd be great.
And I guess conceivably, I mean, I'm assuming there's nothing particularly Ubuntu specific to Ubuntu One other than the fact that it's called Ubuntu One.
It's called Ubuntu One.
I mean, I'm assuming if it worked in Fedora, there's no reason why you couldn't sync to Ubuntu One from Fedora, right?
Absolutely. It just does files, and your data's just stored in CouchDB. CouchDB's CouchDB wherever you go.
Gotcha. Now, something which you've talked with that hit the headlines recently at the Ubuntu Developer Summit was the announcement of a music store. And there's been a huge amount of buzz online about this and whether it's a good thing, whether it's a bad thing, how it's going to work. Can you, for those of us who on the show who've never heard of this, can you explain what the plan is and what how it's going to work?
The plan is you will be able to buy all the music you can think of from your Ubuntu desktop in the Lucid release in 10.04. So in Rhythmbox, you'll be able to go browse around a music store, buy individual songs, like, you know, in the exact the same way as you can on other platforms with other things. But it's going to be properly integrated into your Ubuntu desktop, and your music will be able to follow you around. The music you've bought will be able to follow you around wherever you go, just like that your other files can with Ubuntu One.
So when you say music, are you talking about horribly nasty European trance music that you get on Creative Commons websites? Are you talking about real music? I mean, can I, the kind of music which I like to listen to is not horrible European trance music. It's Slayer and it's Megadeth and, you know, real bands.
Yes.
I mean, can I go and buy that?
Yes, you can go and buy Slayer records. Yes, absolutely. Proper, actual, real music that you get in the charts. much as I personally quite like all the stuff on Tremendo, but... but yes, you can go and buy ordinary music. Yes, you want the latest Slayer album, it'll be there,
and I'll exactly just be able to click on it in the thing, and then it will download it to my music collection in the music player, right?
Yes, that's exactly how it will work.
And so how is this going to be different from iTunes?
I can't think of a way.
So you know, DRM, well, I guess iTunes doesn't have DRM anymore.
Will
it have the same range of music choices?
Pretty much, yes. We're partnering with a music store provider, and they've got a genuinely big range. Because of the way music licensing is set up, it depends a little bit on where in the world you are as to the range of music that you get.
That's really
really.
So who's making these relationships? I mean, this is a big biz dev problem, right? You got to go to the record labels in all the countries. And
well, that, we're working with an upstream partner, and they do some of that dealing for us.
Cool.
Right. Cool. So you're dealing with a middleman who will essentially, they're in the business of basically distributing music to people, selling music to people. But what Canonical's doing is building a client into Rhythmbox, the music player, which will interface with their service, right?
Yes, to some extent. You can think of it like that, yes.
So does that mean that I'll be able to save music? If I buy some music from there, if I buy the new Slayer album and I save it to my Ubuntu One desktop, does that mean, and I put it into a folder that I want to share with all my friends, does that mean I can pirate the music with my friends?
Of course you can do that now.
You can do that now.
If you have a new Slayer CD and you rip it as an MP3, then you can share it with your friends and we can't stop you. We would advise you not to do that.
Yeah, obviously.
that okay. Would be a thing that you shouldn't do.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So does Ubuntu make money off of this? I mean, it looks like you're going to make money, I hope you do, off Ubuntu One. Does the music sales make you some money too?
It does.
Yay.
I don't know the numbers.
No. But it's appropriate, yes, that there should be a little business model behind all of this. We want Ubuntu to succeed.
Yeah, this is exactly it. And I want to be in a position where I can think of a record and then go and buy it, which is really annoying at the moment. So I want that to be really easy.
Did you say how much the records cost? I'm sorry, I didn't. I don't know yet. Not 99 cents necessarily? Or?
That sort of detail still being hashed out, I think. Yeah. I don't know the exact numbers. We'll have more numbers and trial versions of it before the Lucid release, but not just yet. We're still frantically working on basics at the moment.
So has work actually begun on this? I mean, are you guys writing code for this right now, or is the details of the deal still being fleshed out?
Both. I was writing code for it 15 minutes before you rang me up, and awesome. The details of the deal are still being fleshed out. Awesome.
That's exciting.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool. So what else can we expect to see? I mean, the thing that excites me about Ubuntu One is the fact that it's a service that's built into my desktop, and I can, you know, put data somewhere. And I like the idea of, you know, what we've already got, and I like the idea of the music store. What else can we expect to see down the line, particularly in Lucid?
Well, specifically in Lucid, a couple of things that we're looking to deliver. We want you to be able to publish a file publicly, basically to share it with the world. At the moment, you can share a file with your friends on Ubuntu One, but you can't just give a file a public URL. And we're going to do that. Lots of people have asked for that. Dropbox has it, for example. And we'd like to do that too, so we're doing that. One of the other things we're working on is you being able to nominate any one or more of your folders as being Ubuntu One synchronized folders. Rather than having to have everything in the Ubuntu One folder, you can just say, my music folder, I'd like that to be an Ubuntu One folder, please synchronize that, and then click on it and it's done. So it's much at the moment there's people are thinking, well, how can I make it so my documents folder is all stored in Ubuntu One and you have to move it or symlink it or something at the moment? And we want that to be, we want that to change. We're the music store, as we mentioned. Another thing that we're doing is we're streamlining the process of working with Ubuntu One by bringing a lot more things into the desktop. At the moment, signing up and working with Ubuntu One is a bit of a balance in between the desktop and the web. And you spend some time on the desktop and then it will put you into a web browser and then back out of a web browser onto your desktop. And we want to make that process much easier to use, much more streamlined. So we're pulling much more stuff into the desktop. So you'll be able to, you have an Ubuntu One control panel, essentially, where you can say, I want this service and this service and this service, but not this one on that machine. So we're working quite hard on that at the moment.
Is part of the goal to basically, I mean, one of the biggest problems I find with any operating system is, you know, if I want to set up, for example, a desktop machine and I want a laptop, or a laptop and a netbook, is invariably you want a lot of the same settings. You know, you want your email to be set up largely the same way. You want your bookmarks to be there. You want your music to be there. Is part of the plan that this is going to apply to configurations, so I can take, so I could, in a perfect world, take my laptop, which has got everything set up perfectly, take a netbook, press a button, and it'll put all the same wallpaper, theme decisions, preferences in terms of panel, all that kind of stuff. Is that planned with Ubuntu One?
I absolutely love that idea, and at some point, eventually, I believe it will happen. It can happen now. Any application that stores its data in Desktop Couch will get that facility straight away, now, this moment. In terms of making a wholesale move over to storing configuration in Ubuntu One, we're not going to be doing that for Lucid.
Right.
For future releases, I don't know. We concentrate pretty hard on Lucid at the moment.
Has anyone tried literally just saving all of their configuration data to Ubuntu One just to see if it works, and then firing up another machine and pointing it at Ubuntu One?
I don't know. If someone does try it, send us an email and tell us if it works or not. Yeah. That sounds really quite interesting as an idea. I haven't tried it, but if someone does, that'd be really interesting. Do it. You know, it makes sense. Do it, listeners.
Absolutely. Now, there's been some of the controversy that, so when Ubuntu One first came out, there was a bit of controversy around its naming convention and whether it should be a part of the Ubuntu project and all the rest of it. And that seems to have been largely cleared up now. And then there was a little bit of controversy around Ubuntu One working with upstreams. So can you explain how the Ubuntu One team works with the different upstreams? You've mentioned Couch a lot already. Which other upstreams is the team working with?
We've worked quite closely with the Tomboy team. Sandy on the Tomboy team's been really, really helpful. We sat down and worked with him to define how the Tomboy synchronization APIs would work, for example. And we came back and said it would be really useful if it could do this. And we all got together to hash out exactly how that would work in detail. He was very helpful to us when we said we'd like to implement an Ubuntu One synchronization backend for Tomboy, so people will be able to sync their notes there. And he's been really helpful at helping us test Tomboy and work with it. Rodrigo on our team and Sandy on the Tomboy team have worked really closely on that, and that's been really helpful. We've obviously worked quite closely with the CouchDB team as well, because we're doing a larger deployment than most people have of Couch, and we've got some quite different requirements. We've Desktop Couch required us to use OAuth and SSL, and so we've been testing a lot of stuff which which all fitted together, no one had done before. And we tripped over the odd bug in CouchDB, but they've been incredibly helpful. We got back to them and said, this doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? And the response, well, 80% of the time the response is, because you're doing it wrong, language. But the other 20%, they've said, oh, that's a bug. I'm terribly sorry. And then an hour later, we'll get a patch. It's been brilliant. So that's been really, really helpful. Zach on our team has been working with Firefox upstream to build Bindwood, which is the Firefox extension that works with CouchDB and Ubuntu 1 to save your bookmarks and synchronize them around. So that's been really good as well.
So
with Funambol, the upstream phone synchronization people, because one of the other features we want to deliver in Ubuntu 10.04 is being able to put your contacts on your phone, as well as moving them in between your machines and all your different copies of Evolution. We want to be able to put them on your phone as well and have updates in one place happen everywhere else. So we've been working with Funambol, who are the upstream responsible for the synchronization software we're using.
So it sounds like Ubuntu One is going to become kind of like just a centralized point for data. How is this going to compare to something such as Google with your Google account, where you have your calendar and your documents and all that kind of stuff? Is it kind of edging towards that direction?
You could think of it that way. One of the things that we'd certainly like to do in the future is make it easier for. At the moment, what we're doing is we're integrating desktop applications to make them work well with Ubuntu One, to make sure your data's everywhere. Having those applications also integrate with the web is something that we'd like to do. So some people read their email in a web browser with Gmail. They store their photos, Flickr. And I'd really like to see a much tighter integration, so you can move easily backwards and forwards in between those web applications you choose to use and your desktop, where you've got the native conventions, making that transition much more simple.
Right. And is there plans to extend this to the other Ubuntu products, such as Ubuntu Server and the Mobile Edition?
Mobile Edition, absolutely. Ubuntu Server certainly. It should be doable. At the moment, we're quite desktop-centric. So we're using quite a lot of the desktop technology. So we use the GNOME keyring, for example, and we use Network Manager. And those things are gradually being thinned out. For example, we depended on GNOME keyring, but that became a problem for running the client on Kubuntu, for example. So one of the things that we're looking to do for Lucid is to make that slightly less tightly coupled. And the more work we do on that, the easier it's going to be to go to other platforms like Ubuntu Server, like Windows or the Mac.
Gotcha. Now, we have a question from Bear in the #TwitLive IRC channel, which is on irc.twit.tv. And Bear is asking whether... Bear says, so will Desktop Couch only work properly with a single user desktop, or can you have shared items between users?
You can. Everyone gets their own CouchDB. If you want to share data between different users, at the moment, that's a little bit awkward. One of the things that we're keen on doing is providing the same sharing facilities for data that we currently have for files. So for Ubuntu One file sharing, you can say, I'd like to share this collection of files with this person. Then you can both collaborate on them and work with them. A group of you can collaborate and work with them. That's slightly more difficult for data at the moment, but it's one of the things that is on our hot list of stuff to do.
And can you explain how the sharing works? I mean, if I want to have a file on my system and I want to share it with somebody else on the internet, a given person, how does that work? How do I authenticate that transaction?
You create a folder and you right click on that folder and say share on Ubuntu One, and it then says who do you want to share it with. And at the moment, you type in their email address in Ubuntu 10.04. You will be able to choose from your address book or type in their email address. If they already have an Ubuntu One account, it just appears on their desktop because it's been shared with them. If they don't already have an Ubuntu One account, then we send them an email inviting them to sign up and helping them go through the process. So it's very easy from the point of view of someone who's just received that email to then sign up to Ubuntu One and get access to those files that have been shared to you. And then you can save things back.
And is there a plan to share files publicly? I mean, to set up kind of the equivalent of essentially like a web server where you could say, go to this location and you can download this file publicly if I want to make something available.
Yes, we're doing that for Lucid. The team are working on that right now, actually. So you'll be able to pick a file and say, give this a public URL, make it publicly available. And then then it'll say, this is the URL for that file. And you'll be able to give that URL to whoever you want.
Gotcha.
It's a way of publishing data.
We've had another question from a Floss Weekly regular in the IRC channel, East Coast Girl. And she's asking whether Ubuntu One will work on all flavors of Ubuntu. Which current versions does Ubuntu One support?
At the moment, it certainly runs on Karmic. It runs on Lucid if you're running a very early Lucid Alpha 1. We do have some support for Jaunty, but a lot of the later work, because we're depending on quite new versions of things like CouchDB, some of that work didn't make it back to Jaunty. So as I understand it, file synchronization works for Jaunty, but not some of the more modern desktop couch stuff.
Right, but it's going to be supporting each version that's coming out in the future, right? It will be built right into those versions.
Absolutely.
And what about the derivatives? What about, for example, Kubuntu, Zubuntu, Edubuntu, Johnobuntu, Stewartbuntu, Leobuntu?
Looney Leo? Is that the next one? I like that one.
No, it's the Luscious Leo.
Luscious Leo is even more
flatter. It's certainly going to work on Luscious Leo. I'm not sure about Stewartbuntu, although if it exists, I'm certainly going to be running it from now on.
I hear it has a very heavy footprint.
Thank
you. I can say that because
that's my best Christmas card.
Yeah, best friends. Yeah, former best friends.
So on derivatives, different flavors of Ubuntu, we've had some work to make it Ubuntu One work on Kubuntu, and that's been really useful. You can bring it up on Kubuntu at the moment, but we still depend on a certain amount of GNOME technologies. But as I mentioned earlier, those restrictions are gradually being released, and someone has already built a port of the actual Ubuntu One client to Dolphin, the KDE file manager, as well as to Nautilus, the GNOME file manager. So that's Kubuntu. I don't think anyone's done any work bringing it up on Zubuntu yet. Again, you could, if you have the bits of GNOME that we depend on, things like the keyring, then you'll be able to use it. Then you can certainly use it, but you don't get as tight an integration into your file manager. Right, if someone's interested in making that happen for Ubuntu, we're here to help. If you come and talk to us, we can give you all the help you need in what you need to do that.
So that was going to be my next question. Is you've mentioned a lot throughout this interview that the technology is open in which people can build it into their own applications, port it to other desktops, all that kind of business. So if somebody is so inclined, so technically inclined to do so, where do they go and find out about this and how do they get help?
There are a couple of places.
Are you assuming that because they're technically inclined, they need help?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Optionally.
I'm technically inclined. Where can I get help?
I was assuming that if they were technically inclined, they'd want to work on Ubuntu One.
Yeah, that's right. There you go.
That sounds great.
They want to help.
so where can we find out the documentation and how to get started?
Yes. So one obvious port of call for real-time help is our IRC channel, which is #Ubuntu1 on Freenode. There's also the Ubuntu One users mailing list. So in between those two places, or the whole Ubuntu One team hang out in both of those places, so you can get help there really usefully. For Desktop Couch specifically, we're building up a set of documentation on freedesktop.org. So if you Google for Desktop Couch, you'll find that. And yeah, just come and talk to us.
That sound lonely. Please, come talk.
We are. We're sad, lonely people. No. The thing is, people say, "Oh, you know." Almost everyone we've spoken to who said I want to try using this CouchDB thing, or I want to start working with Ubuntu One or whatever, has been surprised at how easy it's been. And one of the things that I'm really keen on is that people come back. If people have problems, come back and talk to me, because then we'll fix it. If you're finding this stuff hard to use, then we need to fix that so it's not hard to use.
It sounds like, though, it's pretty amazing. I can't wait to try it. I just wish we could make it cross-platform on every platform, and then I would use it instead of Dropbox all the time. I love the idea. Yeah.
Do you? Sounds good.
Yeah. If people want to know more, that's oneone.ubuntu.com. You can subscribe there. Try it free. If it's 2 gigabytes, subscribe if you need more space.
Yep.
And I'm a Tomboy. I love Tomboy. In fact, Tomboy is on my N900, so... that makes me want to use it even more.
Tomboy is at the center of my existence.
Yeah, Tomboy is awesome.
It's how I... one of the key tools I use to manage my team at Canonical is Tomboy, because it's just so easy to write data down, because I've tried using like to-do lists and various kind of structured ways of doing things, but I just find text is the quickest way to do something. Yeah. I just want to format it really quickly, and Tomboy is just perfect for that. The thing that worried me all the time with Tomboy was like, I remember thinking... if I lose these notes, I am totally screwed.
Right.
Now with Ubuntu One, I'm never going to lose those notes, and I can access them in the web browser as well. So when I'm, you know, right now I'm up in my studio, I can go and look at my notes right now if I wanted to on a different machine.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. The other really cool thing that happened recently is there's a client for Android called TomDroid, and a branch of it recently gained the ability to talk to Ubuntu One.
Oh.
So now I've got all my Tomboy notes on my phone as well.
Oh, and I'm liking it even more. And you know, if you're just using Tomboy, 2 gigs will go a long way.
It's a lot of notes.
Oh, that's yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Or one very big note.
One really enormous note.
Maybe it's full of Stuart Langridge fans.
Could be.
That one big note.
That's always in there.
Well, 2 gigabytes is probably pushing it a bit for that, I think.
Line after line after line.
Subscribe.
All right.
Well, hey, thank you so much.
Yeah, great to meet you,
Stuart.
For
coming on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I love Lug Radio, and I'm looking forward to hearing the pound of Jack. is it pound of Jack? Ounce of Jack?
Shot of Jack.
Shot of Jack.
Shot of Jack.
Which shot of Jack.
Technically yeah. An ounce and a half of Jack.
Exactly.
Shotofjack.org.
Yes. Thank you very much for having me on. Great. Lovely to talk to you both.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Yeah.
Bye, Stuart.
Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, that's right. That's what you're supposed to say. Cheers.
Cheers.
Pip, pip. Cheerio. I'm guessing Stuart might be one of your, member of your tribe, one of your countrymen.
He is. He's a glorious Englishman.
That's great.
Yep. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. He's one of the smartest people I know. And I know a lot of smart people as well.
You do indeed. You do
he's indeed. Definitely one of the smartest yeah. people I know, and yeah, he's a good guy.
So he writes a lot of software. It sounds like is he in-house developer or is
So he's basically he's one of the main developers on Ubuntu One. I mean he's been a software architect for years. He used to work at a law firm, and then he worked for a radio station for a while and wrote software there. And he's worked on a bunch of different open source projects as well. He originally hails from a web background, so he's just a wicked smart web developer. But he's getting more and more involved in desktop development now with Ubuntu. But yeah, I mean, I've known him for about 10 years, and we've been arguing like cat and dog for the last 4 or 5 years on Lug Radio. And
fun.
Yeah, it's
a lot of fun.
It's good. He's the one person I know I can have a debate with, and you're never worried about kind of pushing it too far. You're like with some people, you have a debate and you think, oh, I hope I haven't offended them. But with him, a lot of people think we're arguing with each other, whereas it's not the case.
Yeah, so I've, you know, that's my relationship with a few people like Dvorak. Yeah. Randall, I actually hate. So
no one likes him.
No one likes him at all.
No,
he's
internationally hated.
He's so sensitive. Now, see, we can't say stuff like that because believe us. He's a very sensitive fellow. Randall will be back next week. We miss him. We love
him.
Randall.
Yes. He's a great guy.
And I don't know off the top of my head. Do you know what he's planning for next week? I can't remember. He talked about it.
For the guest, you mean?
Yeah. Oh, no, for life, for his life.
I was going to say, I mean, I believe he's going to be washing his car. I mean, so yes, for next week on the show, there's going to be Chris Büchler and Scott Ulrich from PF Sense.
Oh, great.
Okay. And PF Sense is a open source firewall distribution. So it should be quite, you know, those people who are security minded should be pretty interested in that, I reckon.
Well, Jono, I love your new studio. I think it sounds great and it looks great. It's nice to see you in there. And I'm glad you reconstructed it for a shot of Jack.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope it's going to help with Floss as well. So.
Well, it's great. Great. Always great to have you on the show. People can get the latest Ubuntu by going to ubuntu.com. I don't think I need to tell you that. It is really, really great. Except I have one bone to pick. Oh. I use an MSI Wind, and I was using the Ubuntu Netbook Remix, which I love. And then and when Johnny came out, the newest one came out.
Karmic
Chameleon. When Karmic Koala came out, I updated, and it's suddenly my camera stopped working, and I'm so bummed.
Oh.
I should have looked before I updated. Look before you leap, kids. Don't assume the new is always the better.
Did you file a bug?
No, it's a well-known, yeah. Well, it's not. I don't know if it's a bug. It's a driver issue. It's well-known. I haven't figured out how to fix it yet, but I'll fix it. Well, it's okay. It's only us.
We can hook you up.
You have friends.
Friends in low places.
I don't want to take Stuart away from his music thing. That sounds really, really neat.
I'm really excited about that.
Is Ubuntu, is self-supporting at this point. I mean, I know Mark put a lot of money into it up front, but I think it sounds like Ubuntu is viable.
It's definitely viable. I mean, the company's doing really well. There's been a huge amount of growth and across the whole company, but particularly in the business development departments. So yeah, we're really happy with the progress.
Do you get pushback from some people? I know sometimes in the open source community, money is seen as bad, evil, wrong.
Oh yeah, I mean, well, the thing about open source is that, you know, there's many different types of ethic, and everyone draws their line in a different place. And for some people, they believe that software should be absolutely fundamentally free in every sense of the word. And, you know, those people are not wrong. I mean, everyone's entitled to their viewpoint, and everyone's fundamentally, you know, everyone's got something to bring to the game. And some people, you know, their line is a little bit further to the right a bit, you know, where they're right. They're happy for software to be free in one sense and maybe a little bit less free in other senses. Right. So for some people, there's definitely pushback in terms of making money. I mean, but for those folks, distributions such as Debian are wonderful. Right. There's great options out there, and there's room in the fishbowl for us all. And that's the thing I love about open source, is that everyone's got something for them. So
And Ubuntu really, you know, with the free disks and just the outreach and the quality of the distro in terms of usability, I really think Ubuntu is very important to the Linux community. So I want it to be out there and continuing to do well. Great.
Yeah, I think there's I'm really happy with the progress. I mean, I've been in it for just over 3 years now, and Canonical's worked hard, but more importantly, the community's worked just phenomenally hard.
Yes, that's really true.
And I think, and not just the Ubuntu community, you know, all the different upstreams that we pull from to put it into Ubuntu. Everyone's brought so much to the Linux desktop, the server, and the mobile distributions. So,
Jono, thank you for being here. Next week, actually, I got it wrong. It's my fault. I'm a little out of order. Next week is actually Chris DeBona. We're going to celebrate our 100th episode.
Of course.
So it's the week after that we're going to do that thing you were talking about, which I've, of course, forgotten immediately.
PF Sense.
Thank you. The open source firewall. But next week, we celebrate 100 episodes, and our guest is the original host of Floss Weekly, Chris DeBona. He's going to talk about Google and Google's open source initiatives, because that's what he does, is manage that. So that'll be fun.
He's an original gangster.
Yes, he is. And you'll be here for that, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Thank you, Jono. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you next week. Yes, we will, for our 100th episode of Floss Weekly.